I want you to imagine, just for a moment, that you are a lead engineer, and you've been tasked with designing this incredibly critical component for a massive infrastructure project.
Right, something where the stakes are really high.
Exactly. Like, maybe it's a titanium strut for a commercial airliner, or, you know, a primary load-bearing joint for a new suspension bridge.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no pressure.
Right. Human lives literally depend on this piece of metal absorbing vibrations without fracturing. So you do what, you know, any responsible engineer would do. You pull a newly manufactured batch of these parts right off the assembly line to test them.
You've got to make sure they work.
Yeah. And you strike them with a mechanical hammer one by one to measure exactly how they vibrate. But more importantly, you're measuring how quickly that vibration settles down.
And the decay rate, yeah.
And to be absolutely safe, right? To ensure you're getting the truest possible picture of the manufacturing run, you take all those individual test results from the whole batch and you, well, you just average them out.
Which is, I mean, that's standard practice across almost every scientific discipline.
Yeah.
You assume that by averaging the data, you're going to smooth out the anomalies.
Yeah.
Right? And reveal the true baseline behavior of the part.
Yeah. And the average data looks beautiful on your monitor. It tells you the vibration in the part settles down rapidly. It's stable. It's safe.
But here's the catch.
Right. What if that simple, completely logical act of averaging your data just created an absolute illusion? What if you're staring at this, like, statistical ghost that makes those parts look significantly safer and more stable than any single one of them actually is?
It's a terrifying thought when you put it like that.
It really is. And that's our mission for today. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are unpacking a truly groundbreaking 2026 paper by S. Adhikari, and this was published in the Journal of Sound and Vibration.
It's a fantastic paper.
And this isn't just some minor update to an old textbook formula, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. This paper actually solves a decades-old mathematical puzzle in structural dynamics. And in doing so, it exposes a completely brand new physical mechanism called ensemble damping.
Ensemble damping, okay.
Yeah. And the implications of this extend way, way beyond just mechanical engineering. We're really looking at how the unavoidable uncertainty in manufacturing, because nothing is ever perfect,
right? Yeah.
How that uncertainty completely changes the fundamental building blocks of how we understand any dynamic system. It's not just background noise. Tiny imperfections in how things are made fundamentally alter the physics of what we think we're measuring.
So we are really sitting right at the intersection of high-level probability mathematics and raw physical reality today.
Actually, it's a perfect blend.
Okay, so to understand why this discovery is shaking up the engineering world so much, we kind of need to start with the baseline, right? Like, how we measure vibration in the first place. Let's go back to that factory floor and that mechanical hammer.
Yeah, so when you hit that part with a hammer, you are testing what engineers call the impulse response function.
Okay.
In the mathematical literature, you'll hear it called the Green's function of the equation of motion.
The Green's function. Got it.
Right. Think of it as a mathematical fingerprint. It encodes the entire dynamic character of a physical system into just a single burst of data.
So if you want to know how a skyscraper will react to the sustained shaking of an earthquake, or, I don't know, how a car suspension handles a sudden pothole,
you first need to establish its impulse response. It's the absolute foundation of all linear dynamic analysis.
Okay, let's unpack this with a visual. It's like striking a tuning fork or maybe a large brass bell with a hammer, right? You hit it exactly once.
Right.
That strike is your impulse. And then you simply listen and you measure how that ringing sound decays over time.
That's a great analogy.
But the classical theory of random vibration, the math we've been using for a really long time to analyze this, it assumes that the bell you're hitting is, well, mathematically perfect, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It assumes the mass of the bell, the stiffness of the metal, and the natural damping, which is just the internal friction of the material. It assumes all of those are deterministic constants.
Fixed numbers in an equation.
Exactly. Fixed, immovable numbers. Classical theory basically treats the object itself as a flawless ideal. It assumes the only randomness in the universe comes from the outside forces hitting it.
Like the wind or an earthquake.
Right. But the real world is deeply messy. When a foundry casts 1,000 bells or a CNC machine cuts 1,000 aerospace struts, they are never truly identical.
No, of course not.
Manufacturing tolerances allow for minute deviations. There's spatial variability in the material properties. You know, maybe there's a microscopic pocket of slightly weaker metal here, or a tiny geometric imperfection over there.
So even if two suspension bridge joints look identical under a microscope, they are never going to ring at the exact same pitch.
Precisely. And because of those variations, the natural frequency of any physical object, the pitch at which it naturally wants to vibrate, it's not a constant number. It is a random variable.
A random variable. Okay.
In the moment the natural frequency becomes uncertain, the impulse response itself morphs into a stochastic process. It becomes this random process that evolves over time.
But wait, modern engineers, they know about manufacturing tolerances, right? They know things aren't perfect.
Oh, absolutely. They're fully aware.
So how have they been dealing with this uncertainty up until now?
Well, the status quo for the last few decades has been to just rely on massive computational power. They use Monte Carlo simulations.
Okay, right. I heard of those.
Yeah. So they build a highly detailed computer model of the part, and they tell the software to randomly vary the thickness or the mass by tiny fractions of a percent. And then they run that simulation tens of thousands of times to see the full spread of possible outcomes.
So they basically hit a virtual bell 10,000 times inside a supercomputer. They record all 10,000 decay curves, and then they just look at the average.
Exactly. They brute force the math.
But let me push back on this for a second. If I'm that lead engineer, and the supercomputer simulation gives me an accurate graph, a graph that prevents my bridge from collapsing, why does it matter if I don't have the underlying equation?
That is the big question.
Right. Because a lot of fields rely entirely on computer modeling now. Why is the math community so obsessed with finding the underlying formula if the computer already spit out a reliable average curve?
It's a fair question. And honestly, that tension between simulation and analytical mathematics is really defining modern science right now.
Really?
Yeah. The problem with relying purely on a Monte Carlo simulation is that you're only observing a side effect. It's like throwing 10,000 virtual paper airplanes into a simulated canyon just to figure out which way the wind is blowing based on where they crash.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You get highly accurate point-wise predictions of where the planes land, sure, but you remain entirely blind to the fluid dynamics of the wind itself.
You don't know the rules of the canyon.
Exactly. Without the exact equation, what mathematicians call a closed-form analytical expression, you can't see the intrinsic timescales. You can't identify the actual physical laws that are driving the behavior. You only know what happens with zero insight into why it happens.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
And for decades, deriving that closed-form equation for the average response of these imperfect parts was considered this impossibly dense open problem.
Well, until now. Because that is the exact code this paper finally cracked. Curie derived the exact blueprint for the wind in the canyon, to use your analogy.
He did. The paper provides the very first closed-form analytical characterization of the ensemble mean in the time domain. It's really a monumental piece of mathematics.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's break down the mechanics of how the author actually solved this. Because, you know, the math is pretty intimidating at first glance, but it's incredibly elegant once you see the machinery underneath it.
It really is elegant.
So the author started by assuming the uncertainty in the manufactured parts followed a Gaussian distribution, right? Just a standard bell curve.
Right. Most parts hit the target weight. A few are slightly heavy, a few are slightly light. Very standard assumption.
But to distill the average vibration of all those varying parts into one clean equation, the paper utilizes something called an integral identity for the sync kernel.
Yes. The sync kernel is this fascinating mathematical tool. In signal processing, it acts kind of like a perfect filter.
Okay.
When you're dealing with a stochastic process, this messy, overlapping cloud of probabilities representing thousands of slightly different vibrating parts, the math gets tangled incredibly fast.
I can imagine.
But by applying the integral identity for the sync kernel, Adi Kari essentially built a mathematical bridge. It allowed him to transform this chaotic probability cloud into a clean, solvable structure known as a parametric Gaussian integral.
So instead of trying to calculate the messy individual paths of 10,000 different ringing bells, the sync kernel filters the whole system into a smooth wave function.
Exactly. It smooths it out so you can actually work with it.
And then to finish solving that smooth wave function, the paper brings in something called the complex error function. And my understanding is that the complex error function acts as sort of a tracker for how probability diffuses over time. Is that right?
That is a perfect way to visualize it, yes. The complex error function handles the cascading nature of the uncertainty.
Wow.
So by mapping the problem through the sync kernel and then solving it with the complex error function, Adi Kari completely bypassed the need for numerical averaging. We go from needing massive server farms running 10,000 simulations to having a single precise line of mathematics that governs the entire physical system.
We've basically moved from a brute force guessing game to holding the master architectural blueprint of the uncertainty itself. The black box is gone.
The black box is completely gone. And because we finally have that blueprint, we can see invisible structures that the simulations were just hiding from us. Which brings us to the centerpiece of the paper, the real meat of the discovery, ensemble damping.
Yes, ensemble damping. Let's get into this.
So when you analyze this new closed form equation, you isolate a phenomenon that is completely invisible to classical deterministic physics. If you look at the ensemble, I mean, the mathematical average of the vibration response across that entire batch of slightly varying parts.
Right.
The average vibration decays substantially faster than the vibration of any single deterministic part.
Wait, let me stop you there just to make sure I am visualizing this correctly. The math is showing a massive drop in vibration, almost as if the system is experiencing a really high amount of friction.
Yes.
But the physical viscous damping, the actual internal friction of the titanium strut or the brass bell, that hasn't changed at all, right?
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
So physical friction is identical across the board.
Yeah.
Every single part has the same physical capacity to dissipate energy. Yet the average data displays this rapid, aggressive dampening effect.
It's a phantom friction. It's not real.
It's totally phantom.
Okay, let me try an original analogy here to see if I'm grasping the mechanics of why this happens, because I want to make sure you, listening, really get this.
Go for it.
Imagine you have a choir of 100 singers on a massive stage, and you ask them all to sing the exact same note, a middle C, and hold it, fading out slowly over 10 seconds.
Okay, I like where this is going.
If they were 100 perfect robotic tuning forks, the combined sound wave would be massive, smooth, and it would decay exactly in line with their physical breath running out. But humans aren't perfect robots. Their natural frequencies are uncertain.
Right. They represent our manufactured batch with standard deviations. Some are a little off.
Exactly. Some singers are going to be slightly sharp. Some are going to be slightly flat. So when the conductor drops the baton and they first start singing, they're perfectly synced up. The volume in the room is deafening.
By maximum amplitude.
But as the seconds tick by, because they are singing at these microscopic variations of pitch, their sound waves begin to drift out of alignment. Within just a few seconds, the absolute peak of one singer's sound wave perfectly overlaps with the lowest valley of another singer's sound wave.
And they cancel each other out.
They cancel each other out. The overall volume of the choir drops incredibly rapidly. So if I'm standing in the back of the auditorium with a decibel meter measuring the total volume of the room, my meter tells me the singers are running out of breath much faster than they actually are.
Yes.
But no one actually stops singing full volume. The decibel drop is purely an illusion caused by destructive interference.
That choir analogy captures the exact mechanical truth of the mathematics perfectly.
Yeah.
That is exactly what is happening. The paper formalizes this concept as phase decoherence.
Phase decoherence.
Right. The closed form equation proves definitively that the accelerated decay seen in the average data is not physical friction. It is phase dispersion across the ensemble of parts.
The waves are just crashing into each other.
Exactly. The peaks and valleys of their individual vibrations are drifting out of sync and mathematically erasing each other in the aggregate data. The author even derived a new mathematical parameter to track this specific effect called the characteristic phase decoherence time, which is represented as T sub D.
So TAD is essentially the exact mathematical threshold where the choir's collective voice completely muddies into silence due to those overlapping waves.
It is. It's a newly discovered intrinsic timescale for structural dynamics. It marks the precise transition boundary from coherent ensemble behavior, where all the parts are vibrating in unison, to incoherent behavior, where they've drifted completely out of phase and are canceling each other out.
That's incredible.
And the paper reveals something even more counterintuitive about this. This phase decoherence happens even in the undamped limit.
Wait, if we're talking about the undamped limit, we're talking about a theoretical scenario with zero physical friction whatsoever, right? Like a perfectly frictionless vacuum.
Exactly. Imagine a magical theoretical system where absolutely no physical energy is ever lost to heat or friction. In reality, the individual oscillators would just vibrate forever.
Because there's nothing to stop them.
Right. But even in that impossible scenario, the new equation proves that the average response of the ensemble would still decay towards zero over time.
Just from the phase drift.
Just from the drift. The mathematical average dies purely because the phases of the individual parts progressively drift apart. The kinetic energy is still very much alive and violently active in every individual piece. It has just become completely invisible when you aggregate the data.
Okay, this brings us directly back to the listener, and really anyone who relies on data averages in their life or work to make decisions. How dangerous is this illusion in practice?
It can be incredibly dangerous. And to help engineers navigate that danger, Adhikari built a practical tool derived from the new equation. He calls it the ensemble damping ratio.
Okay, how does that work?
Well, engineers are accustomed to designing around physical damping, right? So this ratio acts as a closed-form design chart. It estimates exactly how much fake damping is being artificially injected into your data by the uncertainty in your manufacturing process.
So it actually puts a hard number on the illusion.
It does. And the equation reveals a deeply concerning scaling law. This fake statistical damping increases quadratically with the level of uncertainty.
Quadratically. So it's not a gentle one-to-one linear increase.
Not at all. If your manufacturing errors double, the illusion of safety actually quadruples.
Let's apply that to the real-world aerospace strut we talked about at the very beginning. Say the strut has a real physical damping ratio of 2%. That's its actual physical capacity to safely absorb the violent vibrations of a jet engine through material friction.
Okay, 2% physical damping.
But because of normal factory conditions, there is a 10% randomness in the natural frequency across the batch of struts you just produced. According to this quadratic scaling the paper found, the ensemble damping ratio jumps to about 6.4%.
Which means you are looking at more than triple the damping in your test results.
And this is where the statistical ghost becomes a literal physical threat. If a quality assurance team takes that batch of struts, tests them all with a hammer, and averages the data, the computer will cheerfully report 6.4% damping.
Right. The average looks great.
The lead engineer looks at that average and signs off, believing the part is incredibly stable and has this massive safety buffer. But if you take just one of those struts off the line and bolt it onto a commercial jet, it only possesses 2% physical damping.
It doesn't have the friction necessary to survive the flight.
The strut might literally vibrate itself to pieces while the data insists it is perfectly safe.
This is exactly the profound warning embedded in the mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
We are misattributing statistical cancellation to physical energy dissipation. If you look at the average, you see safety and stability. But if you look at the individual part, you see critical danger. And this is why having the exact blueprint matters. When engineers were just using Monte Carlo simulations, they saw the rapid decay in the average. But without the underlying equation, it was dangerously easy to assume the uncertainty was somehow generating a real physical dampening effect.
Because they couldn't see the destructive interference.
Right. The analytical proof forces us to recognize it as an interference pattern, not real friction.
Okay, I have to play devil's advocate here for a second, though. The entire mathematical breakthrough we just talked about hinges on the assumption that the factory's manufacturing errors follow a perfect Gaussian bell curve.
The normal distribution, yes.
But nature rarely cooperates like that. Factories might have, you know, skewed errors, producing slightly heavier parts far more often than lighter parts. If this massive revelation only applies to perfect normal distributions, it isn't very useful in the messy reality of industrial production. Does the whole theory fall apart if the bell curve isn't perfect?
That is a fantastic point, and the author actually anticipated that exact critique, which is why a significant portion of the paper is dedicated to proving what he calls distributional robustness.
Distributional robustness. Okay.
To ensure the closed-form equation wasn't just some parlor trick reliant on a convenient probability shape, Adhikari tested the new analytical findings against a really wide array of statistical randomness.
What kind of arrays?
He ran massive Monte Carlo validations utilizing a log normal distribution, which represents positive valued quantities with a heavy skew. He tested a chi-square distribution. He even tested a uniform distribution, which implies the randomness is completely flat, but hits hard, sudden boundaries.
Did the statistical ghost appear in all of them?
It did. The phenomenon held up across the board. The curves tracking the fake ensemble damping and the phase decoherence time were nearly indistinguishable across the normal, log normal, and chi-square distributions.
You're kidding. Even with completely different error shapes.
Even with totally different shapes. Even with the uniform distribution, the results only slightly deviated at extreme levels of uncertainty. The mathematical proof demonstrates that this illusion is not reliant on the shape of the probability curve.
That's wild.
To leading order, the effect is driven entirely by the first two statistical moments, the mean and the variance. The illusion of friction is a universal mechanical truth of uncertainty.
The journey this paper takes us on is just remarkable. We started with the physical reality of a factory floor where no two pieces of metal are ever identical.
Right.
We saw how the math community struggled for decades to capture that imperfection, relying on the brute force of supercomputers just to guess the average behavior.
The 10,000 simulated bells.
Exactly. Then, by utilizing sync kernels and complex error functions, this paper built the actual mathematical architecture of uncertainty. It proved that simply averaging data creates the powerful illusion of friction, formally defining ensemble damping and mapping the characteristic phase decoherence time.
It's a stark reminder that averaging data can entirely mask the true violent forces acting on an individual component.
It really forces a complete paradigm shift in how dynamic testing and quality assurance must be interpreted.
Absolutely. But, you know, there is one final concept buried in the physics of this paper that is just absolutely fascinating, and it has to do with the nature of lost energy.
Oh, really? Wait, if the ensemble damping is just an illusion of friction, if it's just out of phase waves canceling each other out on a graph, that means the energy didn't actually burn off as heat, right?
Right.
Does that mean the entire process is reversible?
You hit the nail on the head. Classical viscous damping creates heat. It is an irreversible loss of kinetic energy to the environment. You know, you can't unrub your hands together and magically recover the kinetic energy.
Once it's heat, it's gone.
Exactly. But ensemble damping is purely an interference phenomenon. No physical energy is removed from the population of oscillators. They're all still vibrating with their original intensity. Their peaks and valleys are just misaligned. The paper draws a direct parallel between this mechanism and free induction decay.
Free induction decay, what's that?
It's a concept usually found in quantum physics or nuclear magnetic resonance. It's actually how an MRI machine works.
The kinetic energy isn't gone, it's just hiding in the aggregate math, waiting to be synchronized.
Exactly. Think about the future engineering applications of that concept. If the energy isn't lost, but simply hidden in out-of-sync phases across a population of components, could we figure out a way to rephase a mechanical system?
Rephase it.
Yeah. Imagine designing smart structures like a bridge or an aerospace chassis capable of reading its own phase decoherence in real time. When the system needs a sudden burst of coherent amplitude, it applies a targeted stimulus to suddenly snap all those hidden out-of-sync vibrations back into perfect alignment.
So we could literally recover that supposedly lost energy on demand.
Recovering hidden energy from the noise of uncertainty.
That is a brilliant place to leave it. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. The next time you're sitting in a boardroom or reading a medical study or even just looking at the load-bearing joints of a bridge and someone presents an average as the final comforting truth, I hope you take a moment to look a little closer.
Definitely.
What invisible forces, what statistical ghosts might be hiding inside the math?